Hello, this is Pastor Pete Beck III with LifeNet in Burlington, North Carolina. Welcome to today's podcast, which is in the Discipleship Foundations series. This is Chapter 9, entitled More About Repentance. I want to begin by reading 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. That's from the New American Standard Bible. Repentance is integral to the entire process of our salvation. Without it, there is no salvation. Prior to repentance, our condition is one of denying our need or willingness to submit to God's rule. After repentance, we recognize the greatness and glory of our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, and our utter dependence upon Him. And we willingly serve Him out of love and appreciation for who He is and what He has done. The deeper our repentance from independence and rebellion against God, the greater will be our enjoyment of His benevolent rule, and the more effective we will be as His servants. The basic meaning of repentance is to change the mind. How does this happen, and what does it look like? Everyone is born with a mind that is clouded or deformed by sin. By default, we are prone to distrust truth and believe lies. Thanks to the presence of evil in the world, deception is ubiquitous and relentless. Over the course of a lifetime, without continual repentance, all sorts of wrong thinking can begin to accumulate. Sometimes, seemingly impregnable fortresses of deception are erected in our lives as a result of painful experiences and wrong interpretations or reaction to those experiences. The net result is a mind that resists God and rejects truth. Paul describes it in Romans as a deliberate suppression of truth. Romans 1:18 reads, "But God shows His anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who push the truth away from themselves." That's the New Living Translation. This is every person's condition before God gives us the desire and ability to repent. 2 Timothy 2:25 says, "Those who oppose God or the person speaking, he must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth." New International Version. It is important to realize that before the Holy Spirit begins to work inside us, we are quite incapable of understanding how far from God and His truth we are. Self-deception is deadly because the person who is gripped by it has no idea of his or her condition or peril. Using God's word as the catalyst, the Holy Spirit does an inner work of revelation and conviction. He brings us to the point where we begin to see that we are guilty of wrong thinking and sin, and that we need a Savior. John 16:8 records Jesus saying these words, "And when He, the Holy Spirit, comes, He will convince the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment." New Living Translation. When this happens, God asks us to humble ourselves before Him and sometimes other people, admit we are wrong, ask for His help, and surrender to His Lordship. Repentance, then, is the process whereby we transition from sinful defiance of God and His ways to humble reliance and obedience. It opens the way for us to receive God's blessings and forgiveness. The process includes aligning with how God thinks. Confession of sin means we agree with what God says about our sin and rebellion. 1 John 1:9 reads, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." New American Standard Bible. In Greek, the word confess means to speak the same things as God. True repentance always agrees that God is right instead of justifying our own actions. King David did this in Psalm 51, and now I'll read verse 4 from that psalm. "Against you and you alone have I sinned." He's speaking to God. "I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just." That's the New Living Translation. Ultimately, repentance will result in a change of behavior, which is the fruit of repentance. Luke 3:8 reads, "Therefore, bear fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that though from these stones God is able to raise up children to Abraham." Those were the words of John the Baptist recorded in the New American Standard Bible. You can tell when we are truly repentant because we will no longer argue in an attempt to defend our innocence or justify our actions. Instead, we will humbly admit to our wrongdoing, along with having a heartfelt sorrow for our sin and a desire to make things right. Here's how Paul describes it in his second letter to the church at Corinth. And I'm reading from 2 Corinthians 7, 10 and 11. "For God can use sorrow in our lives to help us turn away from sin and seek salvation. We will never regret that kind of sorrow. But sorrow without repentance is the kind that results in death. Just see what this godly sorrow produced in you, such earnestness, such concern to clear yourselves, such indignation, such alarm, such longing to see me, such zeal, and such a readiness to punish the wrongdoer. You showed that you have done everything you could to make things right." New Living Translation. In summary, repentance is an inner work of the Holy Spirit that begins with a change of thinking and will ultimately result in a change of behavior. Repentance opens the door to faith and the blessings of God. It is something we must do for all our lives. No one ever outgrows our need for it.